May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin, that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we, who died to sin, still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead, the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing that the old self was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is a couple other verses. This is verse 17. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were submitted. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Verse 22 says, but now having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Then it goes on. Those are such fascinating and powerful scriptures because it talks about our union with Christ and our identity with him and his death, burial, and resurrection. Those verses 10 and 11 that are so significant, where it says, for the death that he died to sin once, but the life that he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ. As a believer, you're in Christ. And because you and I are in Christ, we were in Christ in crucifixion. Jesus took us in his person to the place of execution. And in that place of execution, our sins were paid for in the person of Jesus, and we're no longer under condemnation. But we're also no longer under the slavery of sin, because Jesus didn't just pay the penalty. He crucified the criminal. He took care of the old self. So that it wasn't just that our crimes were paid for. He did something about our humanity. So that when we became Christians, he didn't just brush us off and say, you're forgiven. Now go do the best you can with what you had to work with before. We'd end up in the same place we were before, in bondage. Instead, Jesus said, I'm going to forgive in the cross. Your sins are going to be paid for so that you're forgiven. But I'm going to make you a whole new creation. That the old that you were is going to be crucified and buried, and you're going to be raised up new in union with me, so that you can be a new person and live a new life, no longer slaves to sin. When Jesus said it's finished, it meant more than just paid in full, debt was paid in full. It meant a bunch of things. That he had accomplished it. It was done. As he looked at his finished work. And for us personally, Victory over the power of sin is not something we're shooting for. It's not something we're working towards. It's where we begin. It's how we start. Again, that Colossians 2 passage says, for all the fullness of deity is embodied in him, and you have been made full or complete in him. We don't move towards fullness. This is where so many of us get confused. We're fighting for fullness, but we start off with fullness. As we've said here many times, breakthrough isn't God breaking through. God broke through. He was a finished work of Christ. He did everything for us. In our union with him and his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection, we have all things that pertain to life and godliness in Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In the person. That's not a theological term. It's reality. I'm in his person. He's my life. We're in union with each other. We're two, yet we're one in some mystical, wonderful union. And so I'm complete because I'm in him. And so I start completion. He's not breaking through to give me more. He said it's finished. We're the ones who break through to believe for the more that we already have. And the issue about sin is we're not fighting for victory. We're not even believing for victory. Now, say this again. We're not fighting for victory over sin. We're not believing for victory over sin. We're believing from victory over sin. He's already done it. He said, you're no longer slaves of sin, but you're a slave of righteousness. That's the truth. Can we choose to sin? Yes. But trying to fight to a place where we finally have victory over something Jesus has already defeated is a waste of emotional energy and spiritual energy. Instead of believing from a place, the finished work of Christ on the cross, believing from a place of victory, so that thing where you get tempted, that anything that you get tempted, or that big thing that keeps hitting you, when that thing comes at you, you can stand restfully celebrating the fact that Jesus has already given you victory over that. He actually is your victory. His death to sin is your death to sin. You died in him. And because you're one with him, his victory over that is already your victory over that. And as we restfully celebrate that, thank him for being our victory, he just manifests in our experience the victory that's already ours. He doesn't give us something we didn't already have. It's not that we finally scratch through and break through into victory over this. We're breaking out into the victory that we've already had. Again, you start from victory. Believe from victory, not toward victory. If you have that attitude, you're defeated before you ever start. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.